Sigrid Winkler. I'm the founder and CEO of City Cowboys. At City Cowboys, we offer horse riding on outdoor trails, about 1.5 hours by car from Shanghai City Center, as well as team building, horseback travels, many more things. And we focus on the well-being of the riders and the horses. I have been in Greater China on and off for over 12 years already for study and for work. And in 2015, I moved permanently to Shanghai. How did I get interested in China in the first place? I grew up in a very tiny village in Austria. And so for me, it was always interesting to explore the world, what else is out there beyond the borders of my little village. And I have to say, for me, from the beginning, from my childhood, China was the most exotic place that I could imagine in the world. So I developed a very early fascination for China. When I was at university, I studied political science, in which I have a PhD. But then I realized that my university also offered Chinese studies. So I enrolled in a second major. And I have to say, in hindsight, it was a very good decision, because I could at that time put a lot of energy and time into studying Chinese. So I already had good Chinese knowledge when I arrived here in China. And of course, that helps a lot in a country that is so different from what you know from home.
Nice to meet you, Sigrid, and welcome to the China Flexit podcast. As I can see, you have quite a lot of touch points with China already before, but maybe let us know again, what brought you initially to China? So what really then was the first step into the country? And how did you get the idea of creating your own company?
During the final year of my Chinese studies, I had the opportunity to do a year abroad, a study year in Beijing at Renmin University. That was in 2005, and everything in Beijing back then was still wild and exciting. So it was really a good year. Kept me motivated to come back to China every now and then, and eventually moved to Shanghai. I have been in Shanghai since 2015, and the job that I'm doing here is supporting German businesses in their growth. So next to City Cowboys, I also have a day job, and City Cowboys is my side hustle, if you want. I started City Cowboys because riding is my passion. So it was from the beginning a passion project, and since a teenager, I have been horseback riding. It was the first horse that I ever bought for myself was, however, in China in 2017. And also, I had the chance to discover China on horseback. I did lots and lots of travels in China, for instance, in Inner Mongolia or in Xinjiang, in Yunnan, on horseback. And I have to say that was some of the best experiences I had in China, because not only you have those breathtaking nature views, but you also meet new cultures, new for you, because really they're rich and ancient. And most of them are especially from Chinese minorities. So very interesting to get in touch with all of this great culture. The idea for the business came also through those horseback travels that I did, because while I really loved them and I always wanted to take friends, I also always felt that for people who do not know how to ride a horse, it's quite unsafe. The guides that we had, they are great riders themselves. They basically grew up on horseback. However, they were less skilled in teaching others how to ride a horse, I have to say. And so we always had accidents, and I never wanted to bring my friends to such circumstances. So my idea was born, and I started teaching some friends on my own horse. Relatively quickly, I realized, oh my God, there's quite some demand for this. And I have to say the pandemic played in my favor in that case, because people wanted to go out into nature after being locked up in the houses and in the cities for such a long time. And I was very lucky, because during this time I also met my Chinese business partner, and so he is now our chief equestrian trainer, and we started to develop the idea of City Cowboys then together.
Yeah, see, we have a lot of similarities. First of all, I actually came first time to China in 2008, so I can relate how wild China was at that time. And I also love all those different exotic places, especially when you go really far into the countryside. And the funny thing is, during the pandemic, I also did my first horse riding excursion. And it was also my first time on the horse. And I know it sometimes can be quite dangerous. You do not get very much instruction, and it's really not an easy part. I understand this was on the one hand a passion project, and then you also saw through those different travels there's actually a need in the Chinese market for this kind of business. Nevertheless, what kind of challenges have you faced building up that business, and what were your first steps when building it up?
In terms of challenge, it was always the biggest challenge for us to find a suitable plot of land to do this. I'm not rich enough to buy land that is big enough for trail rides that are 10, 20 kilometers long in the Shanghai area. So we are relying on public grounds, and that is then a gray area. When we started our first location, the local government was very supportive to get us there, to get the investment and so on. And then after a few months, another government agency, then the investment agency, decided, no, actually, our horses are not welcome there anymore. So this sort of legal uncertainty, I know that from my day job, it's very common in China and a big challenge to a lot of businesses. But I was really unprepared, and quite shocked when it hit me so early in my own business adventure. And it was really not a small thing. It was an existential threat to our enterprise, right? So at that point, I was actually close to giving up because if I have to move my horse stable, what should I do? But there, my business partner, with his connections, was really a star, and he found within days a place where we could stay for a couple of months while we were rearranging our business. And I have to say, it was a big learning for me. I now know how to optimize my contracts so that I'm not losing a lot of money, how to optimize my investments as well. And on the good side, in case in the future it could happen again, of course, since I'm running such a pop-up horse stable, if you want, it's always nice for our clients because every couple of years they will get some new scenery to go horseback riding.
Yeah, actually, I already admire people who have a dog in the city, and I wonder how they are doing this, you know, with small apartments and there's almost or not so much green, right, in town, and to take out your pet. And then I wonder, I don't know how many horses you have, right? But then finding a suitable ground around town or somewhere nearby where your clients can reach you, I can imagine that must be really challenging. You managed to get some support from your Chinese business partner through his connections. Just in case, you know, someone else, our FlexPet community, maybe having similar ideas, if they don't have anyone, no Chinese friend, no Chinese business partner, what would you recommend to someone in order to be successful if they don't have someone on their side?
I think it depends very much on the business. There are a lot of businesses you can do without any business partner. And often having a business partner is not the best thing. You really need somebody who you can trust and where your skills and your knowledge is complementary. So also that you're not getting into a fight about who is responsible for what. In my case, I was very lucky because I think horse business in any country, but especially in China, it is a very closed circle. So, without my business partner, he's Chinese. He has been in the business for 20, 30 years. He has run horse stables before. And so he knew where to buy horses, where to buy hay, all those kind of things, how to run a horse stable, all those things that I did not know. So it was really complementary. And we are working very efficiently together. Everybody has the tasks according to our respective ability. For me, it's also a good thing because it allows me to do this passion project as a side project. If I would be responsible by myself, I would not have time for my day job anymore. But so what I'm bringing into the business is mostly the vision of how I want to have things run. I mentioned the well-being of the horses. I mentioned the safety of the riders and so on. So those are the things that I bring in and that we implement very strictly to to have a business that I like and that I can stand for. If you really do not have a Chinese partner, I think that's totally okay, but you will need a network. Everybody who starts a business needs to have a good network, needs to know people from different ways of life, because when you start a business, it's such a steep learning curve. There are many challenges. There are many new things that you have never before dealt in your life with, especially then in China. And there's always somebody out there who has had a similar problem or who has a skill that you do not have at this point. So you need to have people where you can go to, where you can ask questions, where you also can ask stupid questions sometimes, because not everything is very logic. Or also people where you can just complain or have a drink and agonize about the hardships of entrepreneurship. It really helps.
Yeah, this I can fully understand. And network, of course, goes into the direction where can I get support. But how do you actually find your customers, or how do the customers find you?
We have basically two kinds of customers. We have on the one hand companies who are doing team buildings with us. So if you ever want to have a little bit of an adventure for your team, some games to foster the team spirit, but also a sporty element, please come and find us. But the biggest part of our customers actually individuals. Our target segment is adventurous, sporty people who love the outdoors, who are also social, because we offer a whole experience, not only get on the horse, get off the horse and go home, but we also have bonfires, we have barbecues, we have themed events. We really want to build up a little bit of a community here, not just taking pictures for your Xiaohongshu or Instagram. And most of our customers, because of this profile, are in the 30s, I have to say. Some are also older, which is very nice because of this aspect of safety that we are bringing into the game. So we have lots of people who were maybe horseback riding when they were teenagers, and now they want to try it again and have a little bit of an adventure on the weekends. We also have more kids or parents and kids together that are coming. I mean, it's a fantastic sport for kids to get close to the horses, to get this trust and communication. And very interestingly, I would say nearly 90%, maybe 80% of our customers are actually women. And they are really fantastic women. They're usually also in their 30s, maybe their 40s. They have a good job with disposable income. And they are so independent and adventurous. I really admire those women. So really great friends that I have made also through horseback riding. How do we find our clients, or how do they find us? We are, of course, on all the channels that you have in China. However, I have to say our first best marketing instrument is word of mouth. Our happy clients are telling their friends and bringing them along, and many of them then stay on with us. The second best instrument of all the social media here was, in my opinion, Xiaohongshu, so the Little Red Book app. However, the Little Red Book, similar maybe to Instagram, it also brings a lot of customers that are not those adventurous, sporty, outdoor lovers, but rather people who want to come for a picture, as I mentioned earlier. And I have to say, when I get such contacts, I'm usually extremely transparent that they are probably not really up for what we want to do with them. So a lot of them then also do not come in the end. But I have to say, out of maybe 100 likes on Xiaohongshu, I get one customer. So it's really great turnover.
And it's fair enough. You let them know what they can expect, because you also want to have at the end happy customers, right? So I suppose most of them are local Chinese, is that right?
Since I'm responsible for most of the marketing, we started very heavily on foreigners. It's the circle where I am the most prominent, I would say. But also with word of mouth and with Xiaohongshu, the Chinese customer segment is becoming bigger and bigger. And honestly, this is also our wish. Because you cannot do a business in China without just for foreigners, not in times after the pandemic. I have met so many cool, fun Chinese people through this passion. So it's a really great thing to connect over.
So I'm very interested. Do Chinese people see horse riding rather as a sport or more as a way to relax?
I have to say it's you need to differentiate here, because in China there are a lot of horse stables that are doing the traditional things such as show jumping, dressage, etc. And I would say people who go there, they see it as sports mostly. But what we want to offer at City Cowboys is really an escape from your daily life, an adventure in nature. And so we are much more in the business of creating a work-life balance for our customers. Also, for me personally, I have to say, riding a horse is a mindfulness exercise in a way, because it's not only a horse is not a machine. You're not pushing a button and then it goes, but every horse is different. You need to communicate with it. You need to understand what the horse wants, but you also need to tell the horse in a way that you are safe, what you want from it. So it's very, you really need to focus and zoom in on the activity you're doing, all the troubles you have in your job or in your love life or whatever. You have to completely eclipse them, because otherwise you will fall off your horse at some point. So this is something that I want to bring our customers as well, that they have a day where all their other life doesn't count anymore. So in the world, we have the gap years where you go and travel the world. In China, I heard the concept of a gap day, where from your busy work life, you take off a day. And we are also calling the area where we do the trail rides, our mini Mongolia. So we really want to offer a little journey, if not all the way up to Mongolia or Inner Mongolia, then to a place that feels like it.
That's why I can really imagine it's very good for team building, because you said you feel into the horse, you have to communicate with the horse, which also teaches you something about how to communicate with your colleagues, right? And but at the beginning of your career, you started pretty much just, or not just, but you started teaching your friends how to horse ride. And now you have built up a portfolio for individuals, for companies. So how have you set up all those different services that you offer? And how are you making sure that people are really asking for that, so that there's really a need for that in the market?
As I mentioned, since we're dealing with word of mouth, we really need to satisfy the demands of our customers. If we are offering something that they do not want, then we will not have any customers. So the question here is quite easy. When we started with City Cowboys, so when we really started with the stable and not me on my one horse anymore, the product that we had initially was full day rides for experienced riders. And that was out of the pandemic, because we felt in a city of 25 million or some even say 30 million, there must be enough experienced riders to fill up a horse stable. We have 10 horses, two of them are for kids, so basically 8 horses. To fill up a horse stable like that on a weekend. And that worked quite well. In the first quarter, we were busy on most weekends. However, then our customers also wanted to bring their friends. And some of them were not experienced horse riders, so we needed to change our offer to also offer half days. Some of them were beginners, so we needed to change our offer to give lessons. Some wanted to bring their colleagues, so we started with the team building idea. And we have a lot of customers who started with us on day one and are still with us, so thanks to our very, very loyal friends, really. But after 1.5 years riding on in a little grassland just outside of Shanghai, they wanted to go on bigger adventures, so we're also now starting with horseback travel. So basically, when our customers tell us a new idea, or when we see there is a need among our customers for a new idea, we design something for them very quickly. We try it out, and then we get the feedback again and adjust the new product again. So it's really this sort of agility and designed together with the customer, that is so prevalent in China for everything. We also can adapt that for a horse stable. And also this mindset, if I would do the same thing in Austria and Germany, I think people would think I'm crazy if I'm every 2 months I'm having a new product on the market. Why don't you focus on something that you want to do or that you do well? But this is simply the China speed. So we also can fail quickly. And if we see that something doesn't work out or doesn't work out the way we plan, we can adjust our product very, very rapidly again.
Yeah, really very different mindset. I fully agree with you. In this country, you need to be agile. You need to react quickly. You need to respond quickly. You need to try out, not afraid of any risk, and just change when things don't work out, right? What's next? So what other needs do you currently see that you want to build up, and how did you identify them?
I have a ton of projects that I still want to work on with this horse stable. There is so much that you can do. But one thing that I'm right now putting my focus on is a train-the-trainer concept. So riding as a leisure activity in China is still in the build-up. There are a lot of very good stables already, but the whole industry is still growing. And there has also been some policy input to grow it even further and to raise the quality of it. When I, however, compare it to a major market like Germany, there is still a lot of knowledge that can be gained. So at my own stable, at my own enterprise, I'm focusing on animal well-being, I'm focusing on horse-friendly riding, but I have to say this is not everywhere in the industry in China. And so right now I'm working on a project for bringing German trainers to China to simply transfer this knowledge that we have in Germany to a broader audience of riders, of trainers, of horse owners and stable owners, so that I hope that in the future this aspect of communicating with the horse when riding will be much more important than the use of force in riding that I often see here.
Looking back at the beginning of your business, you already talked about some challenges, but what was your biggest challenge when you started that business? And looking back, what would you have done differently now?
When I said earlier, our horseback business also reflects this agility of the Chinese market. I have to say, this was not my mindset from the very beginning. I'm after all Austrian with a strong German background as well. We're planning things and we want to do things a certain way. So I started with this fixed idea, and I realized, however, although this is a passion project, it's also a business. So it has a financial bottom line. I have horses to feed. I have salaries to pay at the end of the month. And word of mouth is a slow marketing tool. So we started to think about those new projects also in a way where I had to negotiate with myself. If I now do this, is it still in line with my vision? Is it maybe betraying my passion? So it's a conversation that I always have with myself when we launch a new product, that it really is in line with some ground rules. And the other important thing there is nevertheless not to lose focus. So you cannot run 1,000 projects, but you can try 1,000 projects and then focus on the ones that are working well.
So what would you recommend to other people? They should rather stick to their vision, or they should be a little bit more flexible in terms of that?
I think the first recommendation is to all the people who have such a passion for a certain project is to find the courage to do it. I think that is the biggest hurdle for everyone. I was also thinking about this idea for years before I finally, all the circumstances were right so that it worked. So think about what you want to do, make a plan, but then do it. And it's an investment of time and of money, both of which are not endless probably for you as well as for me. So really plan a little bit how long you want to go for it if it doesn't work out, or how quickly you need to change directions in case the initial plan doesn't work out. But at the same time, don't be too hard yourself when you have a setback, because they will always happen. You will learn from them, you will make things better, but it's not the end of everything if something you thought was a brilliant idea does not work out the exact same way you wanted it to. But so for me, the important thing is, this is my passion, and it doesn't feel like work for me, and I don't want to make it feel like work. So as soon as this becomes overbearing and too much of a responsibility than a fun activity, I would need to change something in my own work-life balance.
So if some flexpats in our audience, they might have their own passion thing in their head, which they want to transform into a business, how can they really check the grounds if this idea has some kind of successful potential in China?
As I said, I would try it out. There are so many crazy ideas in China that find a great audience. So if you have an idea and you want to go for it, try it. What I would caution is, in my case, in terms of leisure activities, there's a lot on offer in China. So I have competition not only from other horse stables, but from anything you can do in your free time. Although there is this huge market in China, you need to establish the business with the idea the customers or the guests will not just come by themselves, not because you opened a little shop and suddenly you will have a long queue in front of yourself. So when you start, you need to make marketing part of your plan. You really need to make sure that you answer to a demand. You need to identify a target market, but you also need, as I said, to keep a flexible mindset to answer to changes or to unexpected challenges. All in all, I would say China still has so many possibilities. If I had done the same project with the same speed, the same investment amount in Austria or in Germany, it would never have worked. But here I can just try out.
It's really impressive what I learned from all your answers. So what it needs to have a successful business. For example, I just want to review a few things. Someone that you can trust and where the skills and the knowledge are complementary. Then also that you assign tasks so everyone in their respective area can work independently. Then the network, you mentioned that many times, you need to have a good network. You also mentioned marketing, what you're using, how important it is at the end of the day. And of course, the flexible mindset, which I think probably is one of the most important things in a successful career, no matter if it's your own business or if it's a corporate job. Let me switch to some personal questions, if that's okay with you. So starting that kind of career, what kind of personal benefits have you got out of that?
One thing is certainly for me, as this is a passion, when I'm on the horse with my clients and I'm teaching them what I know, I can still relax. It's still a fun activity for me. And in the process of this, since my clients are not just clients, they really become friends, they have a similar mindset, I've met some great people with who I can share this passion. But also in terms of learning, I would say this is an absolute benefit of opening your own business, because so many things that I have touch points with in my day job, I now need to do by myself, like opening a WeChat channel and things like this, which so every day I'm learning new technical skills. I'm learning more about management of a company. And of course, I'm also learning more about horseback riding still, which is a lifelong project. So lifelong learning is something that I can absolutely gain from this company of mine.
Very, very true. What are you especially thankful for in your life?
With this, I'm especially thankful that I can live my passion and that I can pass it on to others.
And what would you say, what's your core message to our audience, and who should listen to this episode?
Who should listen to this episode? I think it's very easy. It's for all the people who also have a passion and they're pondering in their mind whether they want to turn it into a business, but are not quite there yet. I think they can get a lot of, or I hope they can get a lot of inspiration and courage from this podcast. So the core message is stop making excuses, just do it. And I promise you that your personal gain will be enormous.
Thank you very much, Sigrid. I really think that was a super exciting interview. And for everyone who has a passion, who want to bring it to life, I think you have some very, very necessary and useful insights. And thanks for having you in the podcast. And I hope I can catch up with you once on a horse. Thank you very much.
Excellent. Come by. Bye-bye.